yeah, I just want to start. What are you guys at the computer? Maybe you can just show that first two pictures I've got. And, you know, when you have something on your heart and it's confirmed, you know, then it's really a blessing. And if you, okay, it's not that clear, but, you know, it's just my way of saying God is big, God is unsearchable. You can show the next picture as well. It's a sunset, you know, also not that clear. But basically, as we were worshipping, and you know, we've got a ministry leader for the praise and worship team, and they choose the songs by themselves. I don't choose it. You know, so it was just so awesome this morning as I was standing here with you guys and listening to the praise and worship and being part of that. You know, how God was just confirming what I believe He laid on my heart. And I'm going to get to the sermon right now, and then definitely, Caitlin, where are you, that word that you've shared? Which, you know, this is, yeah, definitely, you know, it's amazing that everything that has been shared here right now, that you're going to hear it in my sermon again. You know, I work on my sermons before the time, so I can't lie to you. It's here already, you can come and check afterwards. But, yeah, this morning, just one or two announcements before I continue preaching. Just for most of you have, I suppose, received those little pamphlet for the regional conference, which is going to be the 21st, 22nd of May. July. You see, you can't do announcements in sermon time. It doesn't work. But anyway, you know, so please, guys, you are all invited. Please come. Everyone is welcome. Kids are welcome. There will be jumping castle, and we're going to have a few. We've got a few plans to keep the young ones busy. Please, you are all invited. We really want you guys to be there. And then I also just want to encourage the church, you know, it's so beautiful, as I say, when God brings us word. And I really believe, and we need to intercede more, especially for church. So Tracy, if you can raise your hand. Tracy's sitting there at the back. We'll have a look. Tracy and Doug, they say it's very cold here. They're actually from Durban, so it doesn't get quite that cold there. But Tracy, she's going to be the person to look out for on a Sunday morning, 8:45. When we start intercession, we really want to pray and intercede for church. So I just want to say it from here, guys. Please, if you've got it on your heart to come and pray, if you want to come and learn how to pray in a sense, if you haven't seen dreams and visions yet, okay, that's the place to be. Why? Because God always, the Father, always wants to speak to the body. Okay, so His heart is to minister to us because He loves the sheep. Okay? So when we pray for church and the church, Jesus is the head, church is the body, okay? So there will be something. So I just want to encourage you, just come a little bit earlier, and we're going to pray here, we're going to intercede for church, and I'm not a natural intercessor in some way. That's not in the fivefold ministry my specific gift, okay? But, thank you. But, you know, I've learned to love intercession. To hear what God wants to say to us, okay? And you will see, there will always be agreement. Amen. So please come and join that. So, I want to start off by Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. And that is where I started. That's why I had those pictures up there. And then, as we were singing it this morning, when we said, all glory to God. You know, it was just something in my heart, just like witnessing something just jumping up and down. I want to read you two more scriptures. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. Okay? That's very significant. That's very significant to know and understand that everything, including me and you, were created for God's glory. Okay? That's like massive in terms of theology. That's massive to understand that where we come from, everything we have. Okay? Also in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I believe that's a challenge. It's a challenge to me. I don't know if it's to you. But you know, that means the way we talk, what music we listen to, what movies we watch, whatever it might be. You know, our married life, our relationship in church, whatever it might be. Okay? That is supposed to bring glory to God. Because me and you weren't created, okay, just to be here and have a nice time. We don't have McDonald's, but we weren't created for eating McDonald's and doing stuff like that. Okay, God has got a purpose with us. Every person sitting here, I can tell you today, God says He's got a plan for you. Okay, because God is not into numbers. God is not into, you know, creating something and afterwards thinking, what will I do with this? Okay, that's how humans think. That's not how God thinks. Okay, so you can know there's a purpose. There's something that God wants to accomplish through your life. Okay, and that is to bring glory to God. You know, and it's amazing if you get in line with God's purpose. I think in our small group we've got almost a little bit of a joke about purpose, but the guys know about purpose, you know. And I believe if you're in line with God's word in your will and you're running with what He wants you to do, okay, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to know, even though you might work hard and there might be challenges and tough things happening along the way, okay, it's going to be, you're going to know, you're just going to know in your heart. Something's just going to witness here that you're in God's will. Okay, and I know in my own life, there has been times that I've been a bit out of God's will because of my own stupid, silly, sinful decisions. Okay, and then I can see you're more likely to get tired. You're more likely to run into a wall and get hurt or something like that. So this morning, you know, I have to tell you, Colossians 1 verse 16, it needs to have an impact on your theology. It needs to, when you leave here and you go think about your life, what you do from 8 to 5 or 7 to 7 or whatever it might be, okay, that is to bring glory to God. And it's not always easy. We know the Apostle Paul's testimony. He's gone through many challenges, many things, okay, but we know he's receiving a crown for what he does. And that's awesome. So it was just confirmation to me this morning as we were worshipping that I felt like this morning I need to lay this as a foundation. And then I think in the third song or the fourth one, when we sang that, I just know that your hearts are already responding to that because you are giving that praise to the Lord. So the past 2 weeks I've been preaching on the household of faith, okay? And the first one I preached on protocol and fathers and just a few house rules, if we can say it that way. And then last week I preached on your brother's keeper, you know, from Genesis 4 verse 9, just something we will sometimes share an awesome testimony and about what God is doing in our hearts. Maybe we can worry. Can you just stand up, my brother? Can you just stand up? I think we should just clap hands for him. He's going to come and share his testimony about the past few months. And I just saw God doing something amazing. And Reinald, Wes, Dirk and you guys, Henning, you can testify. If our small group have sent 30 emails this week, I'm not lying, okay, about what's happening around that. And it's just something that gives credit to God and glory to God about, you know, being someone, a brother's keeper, where he was in hospital for a long time. But it's awesome to have you back. Great to have you back. It's a blessing. So friends, today I'm going to preach again, let's call it number 3, about household of faith. Okay, that's where we are, a spiritual family. Okay, so this is number 3, let's call it, in a series. And I really believe this is what God is laying on our heart. And I once again, you know, someone before the time came and just brought confirmation to I believe what God wants to say this morning to us. Now, I want to start off by saying, you know, I'm going to talk about growing up and maturing in the church. Okay, so we are this household. So we are people of different ages. There's teenagers, people in their 20s, 30s, and a few older people here this morning. Okay, so we all in the natural that I see here has learned to walk and to talk and the basics of life. Okay, now it does happen that you're sometimes 22 years old, like what was my age when I came to the Lord. That's the time I gave my life to the Lord. Before that, I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't. That time, I became born again. I gave my life to the Lord, was baptized, and you know, there my life with the Lord started, at the age of 22. So I already had a lot of basics in the natural under control. Could drive a car, study, have a degree, stuff like that. Okay? But growing up isn't always easy. Will you agree with me? The parents in the house will be able to agree the most. If you run and you've got a stick, boys especially like to play with sticks and stuff. So if you have a stick like in your hand and you run with it in the ground, all of us have learned. Sometime that point, it gets stuck. Boom! It goes there, that stick. It's bad. Who has happened? That has happened to us. So there's a few boys in the house and a girl. Okay? So those type of things happen. And even before we get to high school and we learn about Newton's laws, you know, we understand gravity. If you fell out of a tree, if your bicycle, if you go too fast like this, oops, there you go. Gravity. No one has to teach it to you. I mean, probably in grade 10 or wherever you will learn about Newton and gravity and stuff like that. But you learn it quickly when you're 3 or 4 years old. That stuff happens. What goes up must come down. Okay? You learn stuff like, you know, when the dog maybe get meat and it's a big dog at home, you know, you will learn that don't pull the dog's tail or try to take his food while he's eating. Bad idea, you know. That dog just might give you a warning or not, and he will tell you, thank you, Richard, and he will tell you in his way, leave my food. Okay, and then I'm working on something at my home, you know, I'm trying to tell the kids, come and say hi to me in my office, but don't touch anything. Okay, because it can fall, it can break, it can get dirty or whatever. I'm also working on my wife with that thing because she always goes there with coffee. I just see the potential conflict in marriage if that thing were to fall over or whatever. But bottom line is, guys, we need to be realistic about this. Okay, all of us grow up in the natural. We fell, hurt our knees and stuff like that. But then, when you are born again, when you get born again, John 3:3, you get born into a family. You get born into a household of faith. Okay? So there's going to be, like in the natural, you've got dads and uncles and grandfathers, and maybe you're privileged to have a great-grandfather or someone. Okay? And they will correct you. They will help you to teach you to tie your shoelaces or whatever it might be. Same happens here in church. Okay? And we need to understand that. So the tough thing is, you know, when you are 20 or 30 or 60 or how many years old, and you come into the church, you know, then you are the young one again. It's, amen? You agree with me? Okay? So now, there might be people that's younger than you. The guy that discipled me was only 6 months older than me. And he still claims today that make a big difference. Okay, those 6 months, it's still standing in his days. Actually, our regional director for Namibia in Shofar, and I still submit under him. For some reason, I can never outrun him. I don't know why. But I guess it's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, so you are with me this morning. Growing up isn't always easy. It's sometimes tough, whether it's in the natural or in the spiritual. So I've got a few things on my heart that I want to share with us as a church. Stuff, a few 5 or 6 points, depending on how far we're going to get, about learning to grow up. Okay, and you know, when we see this term, born again, born of God, born in the Spirit, we see John, the Apostle John, using it about 11 times. We see Paul uses it in Ephesians, Titus, Colossians, James uses it, Peter uses it. Okay, so right through the New Testament, you will see this principle, okay, that you need to be born again. You're not born a Christian. You have to grow up, get to a place, and then you and God need to do business through Jesus Christ, and you need to be born again. Okay. Just to establish something, Galatians 6 verse 10, just once again, I shared it before. So then, as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. Okay, just the foundation again, that principle about we are a household of faith here. And inside this household, as I said in the first sermon, you know, there's protocol, there's elders, there's a pastor, there's ministry leaders, self-facilitators, etc. Okay, so there's a bit of there's a few things that we need to understand regarding that. So, now, I'll take myself as an example. Okay? I went to a boys' school, then I worked for a year on a hunting farm, and then I was in a men's res at the University of Stellenbosch. Okay, so I got quite badly polluted by this world, in a sense. Okay, but now it's part of my testimony. Okay? Because everywhere in those places, I got a lot of the world in. Ways of thinking about women, and ways about talking and cursing and drinking and stuff like that. Okay? So in my own eyes, I wasn't that bad guy, but you know, in God's eyes, they need a lot of will to get out of me. So what happens? We come into the kingdom, then there's a lot of will in us. Okay? So we need the word to get it out. So the first thing I want to talk about this morning, and I just love it, and that is sound doctrine. Okay? Not any doctrine, biblical sound doctrine. Because we all live in this world, we read the newspapers, watch the television, we see what's on billboards and stuff like that, and that does have some sort of effect on us. And sometimes, you know, we just need to get to a place where we say to God, okay, Lord, there's some stuff here that's not biblical, that's not right. We need to get it out of our system, and we need to replace it by the word of God. Okay, worry, I've got another picture for you. You can show I'm not going to put off the lights now, but great, you can quickly put off the lights. Maybe you can just see something there. And it's, hopefully you can see a little bit better, a guy sitting there. And friends, you might feel that you were never like that. You had a lot of happy moments while you didn't know the Lord. But I can tell you today, because Scripture says so, the only time in our lives that we can really become full of joy and a blessing is if we move from that picture to the second one. Warrior, you can go to the second picture. So that is what all of us were doing this morning. Where we can praise God for who He is. For His bigness are unsearchable, you know. God is faithful. God is big. And we need to understand. We need to bring glory to Him. Okay? So I believe, in a sense, if you can use a picture. And I believe I was a happy guy. I was, praise God, I was brought up in a good house and stuff like that. But something had to change. Okay, and I needed to change from that first to the second picture. And you might tell me today, Pastor, but you know, life isn't that bad. Okay, but until you're not reconciled with God through Jesus Christ and born again, okay, you're not going to get to the second picture. Scripture says so. Okay, so loving God means loving the truth. God is a God of truth, and He is the truth. Okay, so this word is the word of truth. Okay, and as we eat that word, as we take it in, as we study it, as we understand it, you know, you're going to see it's going to collide or crash with certain things you had here. Okay, so some of it must go. One or the other must go. You can't have both. Okay, so sometimes, you know, it takes time for all of us to work through certain things. Okay, but as you start to grow up and to mature in this household, you will go to a small group, maybe be part of evangelism, or join the praise and worship team, or help with hospitality. And the more you're going to get part of the church life, you're going to see the fruits of the mature believers. You're going to look at them, you're going to look at their relationships, you're going to look at their friendships, what they do, what they don't do, and you're going to see, I want that. I want that as well. I still look at our senior pastor Fred and Lucille, and you know, the longer I'm in full-time ministry, I just get more and more respect for them, for the road that they've been walking. Not 1 year or five or 10, but 20 and 30 years. Okay, those are the hardcore guys in Christ, if I can call it that way. Okay, and you all know, some of you have been knowing the Lord for 5 years or a year or 10. Okay, but it's not always easy. Sometimes you go back, backwards a little bit, and then you need to go. Then you need to go forward again. Okay? And the Word of God will help us with that. So Jesus, John 8 verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. God's Word is the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? From bondage. From the empowering power of sin. Okay, we many times I believe some of myself or you guys, we've got to a place and we so want to stop something. We really try hard to stop doing something in the natural. Okay, and many times when you're addicted to something, you can't just walk away from that. It's tough. Okay, but the truth will set you free. Okay, so we need to obey the words of Jesus. Okay, and friends, I want to say to you, we can't have a philosophical or an academic relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't have a relationship where we know Scripture and we, you know, in an academic way know certain doctrines, the doctrine of man and the doctrine of sin, and understand a lot of theology. You need to, in your own heart, when you stand here and you praise and worship, you shouldn't just raise your hands because the guy next to you are doing it. You should do it because you actually, with what you have, you want to glorify God. Okay? Amen. Okay. So the truth of the Word of God will change us. Titus 1 verse 9. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Okay? So they're talking about pastors, elders, overseers. Okay? So we need to teach the word from God, okay? And you need to accept sound doctrine. You can read it in scripture yourself. Okay, when in church it's taught, you know, it will witness in your heart. It will witness in your heart. And then scripture says, but if someone doesn't do it, we need to rebuke them. So friends, listen now, we're talking in the context this morning of growing up in the church. Many times, it happened yesterday, good example. Boys were running around in the house, having a great time, lots of fun, and then they had shoes on, and when I saw they were in the spare room, both jumping there, running around on the bed, okay? And guess what color the bedding linen is? It's white, okay? And I took both of them and I said, listen, if I catch you doing this again, trouble, okay? And I don't know what happened, and they started playing again. It wasn't 5 minutes. Now, for those of you who don't know me, my boys are 4, okay? Guess what were they doing? I caught them there, especially the one, okay? Alvin, and, you know... And then I had to take the whatever I use in my house to give them a hiding. Because I need to teach them here. I need to teach them here. Okay? So the one that was jumping on the bed, he got the biggest hiding. And I actually got the other one and I gave him also a hokey of twee. And I just tell him, you were playing together with your brother. Why didn't you stop him? I told you not to do it. Okay? And he was looking a bit. But I had probably the brother's keeper thing in my mind. Okay? But bottom line is, I had to discipline them. I had to tell them, listen guys, I told you, it doesn't work like that. You're not going to jump on this bed. Okay? And then when they broke the rules, just after that, and they understand perfectly, okay, then I had to apply discipline there. Now, the tough thing is, in our society, in our world, in schools, not criticizing schools or anything, all around us, there's a lot of stuff happening and working all together to teach us and saying to us, your life is yours. You can do with it what you want. Have you heard about that? It's called secular humanism and stuff like that. Okay? It's your life. You do with whatever. You be happy. You'll find your own happiness somewhere, whether it's in a rock or in your own self or whatever it might be. Okay? But you know, that road's going to lead to destruction. That road is going to lead you to hurt. Now, most of you will know the term to be seeker-sensitive. Okay? So I'll challenge you to try and raise your kids in a seeker-sensitive way. No, it's now the fourth time and the fifth time. Dad doesn't like it. You can't jump on the bed. If you have that attitude, okay, guess what? Before they go to the school, they're going to laugh in your face. They're going to not respect your authority. Amen, fathers in the house? Oom Gys, jylle ouwer mense, is dit so? Is so? Oom Gys sê so, so jy moet luister. Okay? That is a fight. That's how it works. Okay? So, friends, I trust you see what I mean here. Okay, that inside this household of faith, we need to apply these things as well. And it's for our own good. I remember quite a few times in the past 10 years, okay, that I've been out of line, that I made mistakes, and someone above me had to challenge me or hold me accountable for something I'm doing or not doing. And especially as you grow older or you get more mature, you want to challenge that. You want to say to someone, but, yes, but, and then you start to justify and stuff like that. Okay? But the best thing is to accept that in humility and to go with that. Okay? Then God can work in our hearts. Amen. So, I'm doing a bit on parenting as well today. So, yeah, we need to teach and preach the Word of God. And then right doctrine will lead to right behavior. So if we take in the sound doctrine, friends, you will see the fruits will be right behavior. It will be something that the father and the people will be proud of. They will be able to discern it. So I want to use an example today. Something I actually said to someone today. I haven't preached on for quite a while. So I want you, if you have your Bible here, you can open it at Romans 6 verse 1. It will also be up there. And I want to read it to you. Just give you... Okay. Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Okay. We've got a whole Bible full of scripture and stuff. But if these 7 verses doesn't have an effect or an impact on who you are or on your theology, then you're not hearing it. I can read it again and again. But you see, this is something really important. I'm just using it as an example. There's many doctrines, there's many principles, there's many things that we could have looked at this morning. So I just want to use this as an example for all of us. Okay? So I've got the quote there. The next one, Warrior, the next slide. It says, baptism is an outward physical symbol of the inward, a spiritual conversion of Christians. Okay? So when we get baptized, it says something about what happened inside. Okay? Now this thing was a challenge to me. It was a big challenge to me way back in my life. It's something that I had to reason a bit about. But you see, we need to understand what is happening here. Because it's not just, you can look at baptism, okay, and you can miss the point. Because Paul isn't actually arm wrestling just here about baptism. He's saying something about dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, and being raised with Christ, resurrected with Christ. Okay, that's why I used the example, you've got more than 25 scriptures in the New Testament that just specifically talks about being born again. Okay, and this, he says, okay, you are born again. Okay, so you relate with Jesus by what he was doing. Okay, and that means you are a new person because you were reasoning there with the guys. Okay, the Jews and the Pharisees. Okay, and the thing is, he said in verse 2 or in verse 1, you know, they were arguing, and it can be a trap to us as well because we know we've got grace. I don't want to call it a safety net, but it's like, can't vilik is van jou fiets when you're small. It's just there to protect you a little bit. Okay? So grace is there, full stop. Okay? But it can't be something where you say, well, I'm going to do this or that, and there's grace. Okay? So we don't want to work it that way. Okay? You're a new person. A new person has got new fruits. Okay? And just to make it a bit more interesting maybe, I just look in my own dictionary, one of those I've got at home. And then it uses the word sprinkle, but then it also uses the word immerse or dip. Okay? Now, that's a theological problem to me. Because now we're using one word with two different verbs, or having two complete different meanings. Okay? I don't want to be disgusting now, but if this were coffee, and I were taking my biscuit, okay, and I put it in because I want it to be hot and soft, and I take it out, then I've dipped it in. I didn't do this. Okay? I just want you to see that. And I'm not trying to be funny or anything. This is what this is about. Okay? So, basically, if you use that word baptize, if you go and look in when the King James translation, the one before this New King James, the older one in 1611, King James was the head of England. He was the head of England, of course, but he was also the head of the churches of England. So he just gave one command to the guys who were translating the Bible, and that was that he shouldn't look bad, that it shouldn't offend him. Okay, so what was the Church of England doing at that time? They were christening babies, doing this. Okay? Now, a baby can't make a decision for themselves. I know, I had three now. They can do nothing. Okay? So, bottom line is, they didn't have a translation, they had a transliteration. Okay? It means, that's why the dictionary still does it. It says two for one word, but two contradicting things, especially in spiritual terms. Okay? Because when you are baptized, or immersed, the better word, you go underneath the water, and you come up again. Okay? And that is where you relate. The old person dying, the new person arising. Okay? Just as Jesus did. Jesus is not hanging on the cross anymore. Jesus is not, he was crucified, and he was buried. But guess what? He was shown to many of the apostles, I think all of them, can help me there. He showed himself to a crowd of more than 500. There's a lot of witnesses to that. Okay? And we relate to that. Okay? So, this is something important. And if you go and look at the Greek Orthodox Church, okay? Now, most of us, or all of us probably, we don't speak Greek. We have to go to a dictionary or something to help us to understand, because the New Testament guys, the Paul and them, they were using Greek. What does the Greek Orthodox Church do? They're Christian babies, in the sense that they aren't born again babies, because babies can't be born again. Okay? But guess what they do? They immerse them. I don't know how they do it, but they do. Okay? They go under the water and they come up. Why? They speak Greek. They understand the meaning of the word. The word says immerse. Okay? But we use the word baptize as well. So I'm just going a bit into that doctrine, okay? And that's not the purpose of today, because I believe it's more about being born again, being the old person, the new person, being baptized, and coming up. Come to Bible school or send me an email and we can talk about it, okay? But the point is, I'm talking about sound doctrine and growing up, okay? So this needs to have an effect on you. You can't read scripture and then it does nothing. This must make you think, okay, I was born again, I was right, okay, so where do I stand? As you go through Scripture, it must be like looking in a mirror, okay, and Scripture is going to tell you where you are standing right now. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is Paul speaking. That Christ died for our sins, in accordance with Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures. Okay? That's just making that point again. Okay? That there's a link between these two instances. Okay? So friends, this is maybe challenging, maybe it's something you're not quite sure about. Okay? I'm not pressurizing something or anyone, but this is an example. We're going to have to look at biblical doctrine. Okay? And then, as I said, right doctrine will have the right fruits. It will make you grow in the right direction. I've got plants at home, and sometimes I can see that tree is going over the fence to the neighbor, then I cut it a little bit, that the tree will go in the other direction. Okay, or you can put in an iron and a bit of rope or something and just help the plant. But all of us, including me, we need to be open to be changed by the word of God. Okay. So, baptism itself isn't magic for becoming a new person, okay? You can't say you're going to be baptized and then just hope it affects your life or going to make you more spiritual or anything like that. First, there needs to be genuine faith. There needs to be genuine something happening in your life. And then you would want to say, I want to go through this process to relate with what Jesus Christ did. He was baptized as well. Okay, I think enough on that. I'm just trying to make a point on sound doctrine. There's a lot of it. Friends, read it, understand it, learn to love it, and obey it, and you will see the fruits will be blessed. Okay, That was actually not the sermon. Now I'm going to start with point number two. Amen. So, and that is to be prophetically obedient. Okay? Now, Scripture says to us, we shall not steal, kill, murder, stuff like that. We all have quite a good idea. We know we have the Ten Commandments, and there's stuff that we are just not, that's universal. It's from Europe. Well, I hope it's still these days so, but all around the world it's supposed to be. Certain things are wrong. Scripture says so, okay? When it says you can't murder your brother, it's a fact almost, I believe, that I'm oral in the world, né? Okay. So, but then there's a second place where God will come sometimes and He will tell you, listen, and that will happen in worship or in your quiet time or maybe in your car at work, and you will start to talk to you about something. He will tell you, my child, I want you to stop to drink 10 cups of coffee a day. It's bad for you. Who have you have heard something like that in your heart? Where God speaks to you and you feel He's challenging you to start doing something or stop doing something else. Okay? And that is where I want to call it more being prophetic obedience. God wants to do something in the future with you and through your life, but He first needs to work a little bit on it. So our friend Richard Wade, he shared a testimony. He's been here 2 weeks ago. Amazing guy. He led us in praise and worship. And, you know, the first day at home, I offered him coffee, and he said, no, thanks, I'm fine. I said, tea. He said, no, thanks. Okay, and after a while, okay, then he told me, listen, now, God has just laid on his heart for reasons specific to him, okay, that God just wants him to get off that crutch, okay, because many times, if you don't have your 10 cups of coffee a day, you can't get through your day, okay, so it becomes something you're leaning on. But God wants not the to be coffee. He wants him to be in that place. Okay? So, that is challenging to us. And in my own life, I had a few times that, you know, I had to make adjustments and stuff to be obedient to God. So, I'm just going to, Johnny, I asked Johnny, you can come and stand next to me. Many of you have got to know him by now. He's studying in Stellenbosch, but he's in the Fiofa family there visiting us. And, you know, I just fell to him. I phoned him yesterday morning and I asked him, Johnny, I want you to share a testimony on this and that. And he said, it's good. Okay, Pastor, I already have it in my heart. Okay? So, Johnny, I asked him, just from someone else than myself, to share a testimony on, as I say, not Paul and Luke and Jesus said many things we should do and shouldn't do. But there's a place where the word can be that 10 cups of coffee, whatever it might be. Listen, my child, it's for your own good. So Johnny, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes and
I can share with you. Okay, hi, I'm Johnny. I come from Stellenbosch. I gave my heart to the Lord last year, 1st of August. I thought I was a Christian, like doing all the right stuff, or going to church, praying, reading Bible. And then I realized that is not what makes you a Christian. And I responded to an altar call, and I started to go into sound doctrine. Then afterwards I got baptized and also filled with the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know that you needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to come under its submission and also to be led by the Spirit. And that's when God started speaking to me, and I didn't know God can speak to you. And He started laying it on my heart. And it's just when your spirit moves and you have that thought in your head that God just, you know it's from God. And He started working on my bad fruits because I was in the world and I was very obedient to the world. And after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit as well, He started with me smoking. I smoked for 6.5 years, and then He just laid it on my heart, just stop drinking coffee, because in the morning when I drank coffee, I usually wanted to also smoke a cigarette. So I stopped doing that. And after a week, then God started with a new thing, and He said, okay, for a week now you're not going to drink anything. And I stopped drinking for a week long, I didn't drink anything, and then after that He said, okay, I'm going to allow your friends to invite you to eat more, because I really struggled with vanity and with love of money. So I always had to have new things and new stuff and better stuff. And then each day, one of my friends invited me to the mall, and I had to battle against it, but I always trusted God. And I always trusted the Holy Spirit to correct me in this stuff. And even I wasn't very well equipped with the Bible, so I didn't even know that these are the stuff that I shouldn't be doing. And then there's a point in my life where I switched from drinking I became obsessed with my body and how I looked, and going to the gym. And it's one of those things that's not written in the Bible. Don't go to the gym, but But it was an obsession in my life to the point where I started using steroids. And I just said, okay, I'm not drinking anymore, but I'm using steroids now, it's fine. And each time I would look in the mirror and I would just be, no, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And the Holy Spirit just started telling me, stop gymming. And I was like, no, but I have to keep my body. We always want to rechtvaardig certain stuff. We always want to justify certain stuff. And I started justifying it. I started saying, no, but I'm also soul, body, and spirit. You know, and I have to take care of my body as well. And so blessed, because this year when I stopped going to the gym, I didn't have that. I got delivered from vanity as well, and I had so much more time to spend with God and to know who He is and to know His character. And many times people get born again and then this love stage, and then God starts to lay certain things in their hearts to stop doing, and that's when you move to love. The verlief stadium gaan voorbij, and then you become in love with God, and you just want to do His commandments, you just want to abide in His commandments. And there's also once in last year when I was, and it's also being prophetically obedient. We were three guys and two girls, and we prayed a lot, and because we started knowing the true Jesus, and we never knew this, and we never experienced it in our families as well. And God laid it on each and one of our hearts just to consecrate people to Him that we trust for salvation. And we went to a mountain and we just wrote people's names on rocks, and we just consecrated, prayed over them, prophesied over them. And we just trusted God for those people. And about 2 months after that, one of our friends came to salvation. And he went up and he took a rock and he threw it down the mountain just as a sign of glory, all glory to God. And he consecrated 5 more people. And I also had a rock for my father because I really wanted to amend the relationship that we had, or we didn't have, let me say that. And God challenged me one morning and He said, you know what? It's not your dad that's a problem, it's you, because I didn't know how to be a son. I didn't know how to give glory to my father. I didn't know how to submit to my father. And I always took everything for granted. And the Holy Spirit just laid it on my heart to start writing Him a letter. And I wrote a letter and I cried a lot. I cried a lot during the letter. And I was like, okay, yes, God, I was obedient. I got deliverance. And I was like going out of my room, wanting to make coffee. And He said, no, you're going to read it to your father. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to read this to my father. Because we have a lot of, fellows Afrikaans, we have a lot of pride in our lives and trots. And that is often the challenge that God lays on our hearts. He doesn't care about your comfort. He cares about your character. And many times He will ask you to do something that is very uncomfortable. But He looks into your character. He doesn't see your comfort, if you understand what I mean. And me and my dad, we went to dinner somewhere, and then I just read it to him, and now we have one of the most awesomest relationships, and I can share anything with him, and I can just sit with him and just share about God's character, and it's just how faithful God is in my family, and how He has started to change things, and especially with my brother as well. He did the same with my brother, and it usually starts with us. It's not the other person that's the problem, it's usually you, and God wants to fix that, but you will never be fixable if you don't start to be God-driven, to be His heart beats people, like Carl said. And when your heart starts to beat people, then that is when change comes, that is when deliverance comes. So yeah, I just want to encourage you guys, listen to God's voice and what He prompts, and come into the submission of the Holy Spirit, because if you don't submit to the Holy Spirit, then you will not grow, because only when you are obedient you will grow. Amen.
Thanks, Johnny, for that powerful testimony and really sharing a lot from your personal life and stuff. And I just felt I wanted to ask you and just trust God can be glorified by this. And I believe it's such a good example. It's like the story of Jonah, you know. Jonah chapter 1, Jonah didn't listen, got it wrong. Sometimes, guys, God loves you so much, you will send the whale till you can get to chapter 3, where, you know, Jonah did what God wanted him to do. And, you know, the people of Nineveh repented, and you can go and read the rest of the story. So this is powerful, and this is something, you know, as I said, once again, thank you for sharing. It's personal, but it's a testimony to the kingdom. It's a testimony of God, you know. So I just want to encourage you in the context of this sermon, You know, if God is speaking to you, obey. If you're not sure about what God is saying to you or how you should handle it, go and speak to your small group facilitator, your zone coach, an elder. Come and have coffee with me or something. Okay, that we can keep each other in line. Okay? I'm also accountable. I'm also accountable, you know. I'm not just doing my own thing and I can tell you guys whatever I want. Okay? I'm accountable to leadership above me. Okay? So that's about being prophetically obedient, and if you wanna see God move in your life, I really believe that area is something. As Johnny has said, you know, many of us, including myself, I remember when God told me the first time, but God told me this and that. I was like, how do you mean God told you that? It's like I never heard God tell me anything. Okay, but that's part of the old person dying. The old person usually can't hear that well. And then the new person, this Romans 6 verse 1 to 7, okay, the new person usually can hear a lot better because you're starting to come into line with Christ. So friends, the third point I wanna lift out or lay down this morning is learn to receive impartation and to imitate. Learn to receive impartation and to imitate. Okay, now that is the place. If you want to play good cricket, then you don't go ask a guy that's a good golfer. You go to someone who played themselves good cricket because they knows the ins and the outs and all the tricks of the trade. They can teach it to you. Spiritually, exactly the same thing. Okay, don't go and I had a good time with the mission team. And by the way, mission team, next Sunday they're going to be back in Pretoria. We're going to miss you guys a lot. Craig and your team, thanks for coming and really blessing us and serving here and just being part of church life. It is really amazing to have this relationship with our sister church in Pretoria. So thanks a lot for you guys. But I had a talk with them and I spoke to them a bit about relationships, especially when you're single or, you know, when you get engaged and in different seasons, how you do different things. Okay? And I told them, don't go to your friend, your buddy, that's not in a relationship and ask him or her for advice. They're just going to, soos in ons Afrikaans, hulle gaan jou van die wal af in die sloot help. Okay? That means they're going to help you from the wall into the sloot. Okay? Or something like that. But the point is that if you want to have good advice about being in a relationship, okay, especially how the younger you are, go and speak to godly married people, the guys that has been through this. Ask them about boundaries. Ask them about what you do, when you do it, etc. and stuff. Don't, I've heard it a million times when I was young. Then the one guy, after a few beers, now he's asking his friend for good advice about dating that girl. Man, bad news. Bad news. Don't go there. Okay. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember your leaders. Those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Okay. So I'm imitating especially Pastor Sias and Pastor Fred. Those are the guys that I still follow. I still keep an eye on them. Many of you will know them. I stand in a relationship with them. And whenever they are talking or preaching or stuff, I'm listening. It spits my ear. I'm listening to what they are saying, how they are saying it, how they are leaders, how they are fathers, how they are husbands and stuff like that. I'm learning from them. Okay? And the same goes for us inside the church. If you want to grow up, okay, imitate someone spiritually mature. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Okay? So those mature people, you will see the godly fruits. You will see the proof that their feet stands in, rooted in sound doctrine. Okay? And then you can imitate them. You can see what they do because they imitate Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well, beloved children. Imitate their father. Okay? So friends, you can also read scripture and imitate it. If whatever it says, okay, given that you understand it correctly, do it. Apply it to your life. Listen to that. It will be a blessing to you. I've listened recently, I heard Pastor Fred. He's the senior pastor of our Shofar churches. I heard him say, Impartation must give rise to imitation. Wise words. It's also up there. Impartation must give rise to imitation. So what do you do if you impart? That means you're breaking something open, you're revealing someone to someone who doesn't understand it yet. Okay, picture that comes to my mind was mathematics, grade 11. Okay, doesn't come to my mind. I asked the teacher, she sits next to us, and she helped you to understand what, why, how. Okay, I never understand, but that stuff. But God has got something for me as well. Okay, and bottom line is, He will help you. Okay, if you, that impartation, if you sit and you listen to a guy and he really helps you to understand something about relationship with a lady, if you're a guy, okay, and how to do it the correct way, okay, he imparts it, and then you're going to think like, wow, you know, he's got it, he understands it, okay, so that will give rise to imitation, okay, so that means that's almost the test. That you can see this person is worth following. Okay? So always remember, guys, if we disciple someone, okay, you will tell someone stuff, you will help that person how to pray or to fast or tithe or whatever the case might be. Okay? But we always keep our eyes on Jesus. Okay? That person will impart to you, they might mentor you, disciple you and stuff like that. Okay? But keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't ever become dependent on a person. Listen to that spiritually mature person, okay? Imitate him or her. Not all of us are the Apostle Paul that can say it. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Check it in the Word, okay? But we need, so the point I want to make is, I want to encourage all of us, okay? To be, I think, I want to learn a lot more right now than maybe 5 or 8 years ago as a Christian. Because the more I learn, the more I just want to obey and follow the Lord. And as I started off, I want my life to give glory to Him. Okay? Then the last one, I'm not going to get through my sermon, so maybe we'll continue next week. And that is, for especially for young believers, young Christians, but for all of us in a sense. And that is, understand the relationship between the head and the body, Jesus and His church. Ephesians 1 verse 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Christ is the ruling authority. Jesus Christ is the ruling authority. He is the head. Okay? And I've used this example before, but you know, you can't say, I have this great relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? But the body, the church, the people, you know, I don't like that. You know, they are just full of issues and they offend me and they want my money and I must serve there and stuff like that. The Greek Paul was using here to describe this thing, to bring it to revelation for us. Okay? There's a strong, you can't separate this head from my body. Both are going to die. Okay? So you need to understand it. We need to understand that you, I've heard many people in town sometimes they say, but this type of a thing, you know, I love Jesus, but you know, the body, no. So the point is just, friends, there's something is going to flow from the head to the body. The head is my head gives instruction to my body. Okay, this is what my brain is, and that gives the commands to my body. Okay, so if you're a young believer, okay, you need to understand that you can't have the one or the other. Or the opposite is also true. You know, you can't sit in church forever and not like Jesus. Okay? That's not going to go. There's something specific here in this image that Paul was using here for all of us to see. See, my sermon is too long now. I'm not getting through all my pages. But the last point I wanted to make on that one, give me a minute, a second. Is this thing about, I'm going to end this. I said I've got a few more things. I believe there's things like what that we need to learn about the fear of the Lord. This is not always something that we grow up with. We all don't always understand that in the right way. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean, you know, you fear God as this guy with a stick in the hand. That's not what it means. Okay, but Scripture says that's the beginning of wisdom. That means to have a healthy fear. Okay, I think I can use my own example in my dad in the natural, and that is where, you know, when I was 4 or 5 or 6 years old, you know, I know if I step out of line, there was trouble. But I know I had a loving dad to which I could go at any time with any need, and he would have been there for me. Okay, it's a healthy respect. And maybe these things are, as I said, I'm not going to get through all of this, but some last word, maybe, that I've really seen, and that is, we need to learn to work out our issues, our stuff, with inside the family. When the first time after me and my wife, you know, when you have a big fight or a big thing after you're married, you don't throw your ring away. You don't say, but now I'm going to get another wife. You can do it in Hollywood, but your next wife, you're just going to have just as many issues. Okay? So, in a sense, this is not the seeker-sensitive part, where people sometimes don't want to talk about stuff, but I believe it's for our best. And I want to say to you guys, we need to learn to work out offense inside the household of faith. Because there the victory will come, there the testimony will come, and there the blessing will come, and there the growing up will come. Too many in the way we live today. If something doesn't work for me, it's like a restaurant. You order food, the steak isn't good. You say, well, to the waiter, I'm going to another place. We can't do that in church. We can't do that in a household of faith. If you've got spiritual parents there, okay, we need to sit and work it out. Pastor Lusol, Pastor Fred's wife, she said once, I remember, she said, was telling the story, and she told the person, well, you can go, you get offended. I, as a pastor, I don't have that luxury. I have to stay here. Okay? So I'm telling you today, I'm staying here. Okay? But the moral of the story is just, and I'm saying this pastorally, I'm saying this as a father here. If there's any type of offense, come and talk to me, come and speak to, there's 3 elders and that's married men in this church, come and speak to us. Okay? That we sit and that we pray and that we talk and we sort these things out, that we don't give an open door to the devil. But we need to work it out inside a family. Amen. I really believe it's important for us to not have that attitude, but then I'm not going to talk to you or whatever. Especially in our marriages, we will see very clearly. You can talk to your wife, maybe not for half a day or a day or two or how long, but sometime you're going to have to face each other. Sometime you're going to have to sit down and say, this thing about finances, this thing about the kids or whatever it might be, we need to talk. We need to sort it out. So I want to encourage all of us, including me, okay, that we learn to sort these things out inside church. So friends, this is what's on my heart. I believe God wants to do something in our hearts. Part of our vision is that God told us, you know, He doesn't just want an organization. He wants a family. He doesn't want a church with leadership and 15 ministries and a lot of people doing a lot of things and we run the show, okay? He wants a family. He said to us in the Shofar family and to Vinduk Shofar, you guys must be a family. God the Father wants family as well, okay? He's interested in that. God works through fathers and you can see it with Paul and Timothy and elsewhere. So this is something together with hospitality, that biblical place of biblical hospitality, God preparing a table for all of us. That's our vision. We want it in every ministry, every small group, every place in church, that when someone comes in, not by me or someone greeting you, but by what we are doing, that you will see what's there. It says to me, you are welcome, you're invited, come and sit at the table. Okay? So, we are making slowly but surely progress on that. We are working on that. And this thing about household of faith, you know, God loves us. He loves our church. Okay? And He wants us the best church we can be. And our vision is, we want to reach Vinduk. Okay? We want to grow inside. And that's another point I had, but I'm not going to get to, is to serve inward, focus outward. And that's not the first time you heard it. That's why, Caitlin, the word that she brought this morning about Paul talking, you know, he was young, but he matured. Okay, the more we mature, okay, the more Susus Bard harder word, okay, the more God can say to us, now you are a spiritual father. You are not a child anymore. You don't think like a child anymore. You don't act like a child anymore. Okay, stand up, be a man, and let's sort out these things. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for your word, Lord God, and Father, that you carefully wrote your word to us, Father God, that you used your eternal pen, Father God, and that you penned out everything on scripture, Lord, on paper, Father, that you've given your words to us, Father God. Thank you that it's eternal, Father, that it wasn't just for the guys 2,000 years ago, Lord, but it's for today and for right now, for each and every one of us, Lord God. I thank you for the words you've given us this morning. I thank you for the testimonies, Lord God, just about your goodness, your faithfulness, Lord God, about being obedient, Lord God, and just that I pray, Lord God, that you can move in our hearts, Lord God, that you will increase the capacity in our hearts and spirits, Lord God, that we can be obedient, Lord God, that we can, not like Jonah, Lord God, that we can get it right the first time, Lord God, that we can listen and that we can grow, Lord God, and inside this family, inside this household of faith, Lord God. I know, Lord God, that this is your plan, Lord. Ephesians says it's your eternal plan, Lord God, that where you want to reveal your glory to this broken world, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the truth, Lord God, that you are the only truth, Lord God, and the truth will set us free, that it will change us, that it will make us new, Lord. And that's because, as we see in John 3, verse 3, Lord God, that's why we have testimonies, Lord, because the old person has died, Lord God. When we are born again, we become new people, Father God. And I pray for every person in this house, Lord God, including myself, Lord God, that yes, Lord God, as we walk this road, as we have this marriage with you, Lord God, and with your church, Lord God, that we can grow up, that we can mature, Lord God, and Father, that we can become people to be imitated, Lord God, that people will see in our weddings, our marriages, our relationships, Lord God, the things we do and say in church, Lord God, Father, that our feet, Lord God, are planted into solid doctrine, Lord God, sound doctrine, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll protect everyone here, Lord God. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over us as a church, Lord God, that your hand will be with us, Lord God. And Father, that every person that walks through those doors, Lord God, that's special to you, that they will feel welcome here, Lord God, and that you invite people, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. So friends, just one more important moment. If you just can close your eyes for 1 second, all of us, as we just, in let's call it a state of worship, I want to invite you here this morning for two things. If there's anything regarding church, if there's anything that you don't feel comfortable about, anything that you feel about the sermon, if you felt something that God has laid on your heart, something where the Holy Spirit want to minister this morning, if you feel there's something that you need to open up inside and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit this morning, then I want to invite you. I want to pray with you this morning. Just as all eyes are closed, is there anyone in the house you feel God has been, your heart was sensitive this morning and you feel a bit anxious now, but there's something, you know there's something between you and God that He wants to deal with you. Is there anyone like that? If you can just raise your hand, it's for no one else, it's just between you and God. If you feel there's something on your heart, and you feel God needs to minister and you need to open up. Thank you. Thank you. And then secondly, if you are here in church this morning, and you've been listening to me, you've been listening to these words, but you're not sure about this thing, about being born again, about standing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you have tried to give it a go, maybe it hasn't worked out all the way. But if you sit here this morning and you know that you have not been reconciled to the Father God through Jesus Christ, if what I was talking about this morning, if it's maybe a bit foreign to you still, okay? Today can be the best day of your life. You can move from that first picture to the second picture. One where you should sit with your crying in a sense alone. Where God the Father wants you to move to that place where you can stand with your hands in the air. You can worship Him. If there's anyone here this morning and you're not completely fine with this thing, you know something still needs to happen, while all eyes are closed, can you just show who you are? I would like to pray with you as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands.
I just let in my heart that there's some people here today that you've been walking just the road with God, and
There's some promises in your life that you feel that God has made to you, and you just feel that you're asking yourself, God, where are those promises? Where's that provision? Where's just what you told me would happen, Lord God? And we were just reminded this morning in intercession that Abraham obeyed God to the letter. He was willing to sacrifice his own son. And he was obedient to the point that he was about to do it when God stopped him and said, don't do it. I know your heart now. I know that you are for me. I just feel that some of us this morning needs to come to God and say, God, I've compromised. You gave a promise to me and I'm not seeing it. I don't know how to be an obedient in that sense. If that is you, just please raise your hand. We just want to pray for you. We just want to take you to God and just say, God, here I am. I want to follow your word. I want to follow what you've asked me. And I want to see those promises that you've given me. But I want to walk just as a servant and obey your voice. And just like Johnny's testimonies were, that God gave him certain words that he has to do, but he said, yes, Lord, this is so hard for me. I can't do this. And sometimes we turn our back on those promises. When those promises are still there. They are still true. You just need to say, God, I will take your word up again. And I will do it, no matter what. Because I love you. Amen.
Good friends, all those people that feel you need to respond, those people that have raised their hands, I'm going to challenge you, as the rest of the church go now for coffee, I want to invite you, come and stand here. Me and Reinald is one of the elders in church. We want to pray with you this morning. We want to stand in faith with you. So friends, thank you for being here. Have a wonderful Sunday. Please join us for coffee afterwards. Meet someone you haven't met before. Talk to someone you haven't talked before. But please, if you have raised your hand, don't leave this morning without coming for prayer. Amen. Amen.